Let's go back to the book of that we've been studying on Sunday morning, Zechariah chapter 5. If you would, open your Bibles to the book of Zechariah chapter 5. And I hope that those of you who are watching by way of the internet, if you have a Bible handy, that you will also follow as I read, and then as I endeavor to bring the message that I believe God has laid on my heart. Here's the subject that I want to deal with is the woman in the basket. That's the subject, the woman in the basket. All right, Zechariah chapter 5, let me read verses 5 through 11. And then the angel that talked with me went forth. This is the angel of the covenant now. This is the messenger from God. This is our Lord Jesus who took a pre-incarnate form. And he visited with this man of God. It's a blessed thing that the Lord speaks to sinners like ourselves. Today, you're not going to hear the voice of the Lord audibly, but you will hear his voice through his word. May God give us ears to hear him. Give us an understanding of his gospel. And may the Lord give us ears to hear his servant. Know this, everywhere that God's servants are standing and preaching to people this morning, sounding forth the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace to sinners through the blessed person and the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. God speaks through those servants and through his gospel to people. If you would be a friend, not to me, but to yourself, you need to listen. You need to listen. So the angel talked with me. And he went forth and he said unto me, lift up now thine eyes and see what is this that goeth forth. And I said, what is it? A reasonable question. What is it? And he said, this is an ephah that goeth forth, a basket, roughly a bushel basket, pretty close. So you can think of a bushel, you know the size of a bushel basket. This is the largest dry measurement that the Israelites had. So here's a basket, about the size of a bushel. A bushel basket, and it goes forth. And he said, moreover, this is their resemblance throughout all the earth. This is what is looked at. This is what is seen throughout all the earth. And then the prophet of God says, and behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead. In other words, this basket had a lid on it, very heavy, a talent, it says, of lead. And that's about 125 pounds on top of this basket, making that lid to be impossible for anyone to lift it who might be inside. And then when it was lifted up, the prophet of God, he's listening and he's looking, and there was a woman sitting in there. A woman in the midst of the ephah, in the midst of the basket. So that's where my title comes from. Who is the woman in the basket? And he said, now he identifies what this woman represents. He said, this is wickedness. I enjoy reading other translations from time to time, and I enjoy reading Young's literal translation, if some of you have Young's concordance. I enjoy reading his literal translation, and he reads it this way, the woman is wickedness. The woman is wickedness. That's what she represents. This is the personification of wickedness, is that woman inside the basket. And he cast it into the midst of the ephah. In other words, she's in the basket, and then he cast the weight of the lid upon the mouth thereof. He just pulled the lid off so that Zechariah could look into the basket and he sees this woman. And then he's informed she is wickedness. That's what she stands for. That's what she represents. You know, the Bible is a book full of representation, full of symbols. The Lord Jesus, our Savior, we're going to wind up by singing at the end of our service, look to the Lamb of God. Well, he's not literally a lamb on four legs, but the Lamb represents him in his meekness, in his loveliness, in his innocence. And there are a multitude of other symbols and lots of symbolic language used through the Bible. So this is nothing unusual. So he puts the lid, the Son of God puts that lid right back on it. He just pulls it off long enough so that Zechariah could look and see a woman inside, but she's not coming out because the Lord puts that lid right back on her. And then, verse 9, then lifted I up mine eyes and I looked, and behold, there came two women, and the wind was in their wings. They're going to fly downwind. For they had wings like the wings of a stork. Large wings, powerful wings. Their flight will not be interrupted. And they lifted up the basket. They lifted up the ephah. They lifted up the bushel basket with the woman inside and the lid on top. They lifted up the ephah between the earth and heaven. And then said I to the angel, I asked the Son of God this one who talked with me. I said, where are they going? That is, whither do these bear the ephah? Where are they going with this basket with the lid on top, weighs 125 pounds, and the woman inside who personifies wickedness? Where are they going? And he said unto me, they're going to build it a house in the land of Shinar. That's the same place that they built the Tower of Babel. Same location. Not far from the city of Babylon. And it shall be established. In other words, that house where I'm going to have these two servants put this bushel basket with wickedness inside with a heavy lid on top, that house, that establishment's going to last forever. And it will set upon her own base. It won't be moved. The basket with the woman inside, the woman who is wickedness, it's got a place reserved all for itself. And from that location, it will never be moved. I've said the woman is the personification of wickedness. As such, she can represent all of us, all of mankind. Because that's what we are. We're wickedness. we're wickedness. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, just before the Lord instructed Noah to build an ark, preach and build for 120 years, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of his heart was only evil continually. You know what that word imagination means? Look it up. It means the very framework of everybody. What you're made up of on the inside. That's you and me and everybody. Our framework is only wickedness and evil continually. So in a very real sense, that woman in the basket, who is the personification of wickedness, she represents, or she could represent, all of mankind. All of us. Because we're definitely wicked. Over in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things. And desperately, what's the next word? Wicked. Desperately wicked. Well, what does the word wicked mean? If you look up that word, it has the idea of a malignancy that cannot be cured. If you have cancer, or they suspect you have cancer. I've shared this with you before. My dad got sick and many years ago. Couldn't figure out what was wrong with him. And they went in and did surgery to just kind of look around. And the surgeon came back and gathered my brother and my sister and me and our mother together with our spouses. He said, Mr. Bird is desperately ill. I knew what that meant. There's no hope. There's a malignancy there from which he cannot be cured. Now you hear me. Oh, may God give you grace to hear me. There is within every daughter and son of Adam a malignancy, a guilt, wickedness. And God's law, that's the lid. It holds us in captivity. And the law of God says you're guilty. You're wicked. Your evil is nothing but malignancy. You're not getting out by any effort of your own. That lead's too heavy for you to move. And here's another sad thing about our condition. We don't even want to get out. We have no idea of how bad off we are. And so therefore, we're not even looking for a cure. We're not interested in the bloody sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not interested in being made the righteousness of God in Him. Because that malignancy, it's just affected all of our bodies. All of the soul. You're talking about a cancer that has spread. It's affected every part of us. And as far as we're concerned, there is no hope. There's no hope. I put this article in the bulletin about weighed in the balances and found wanting. I used that as an illustration yesterday at the funeral for Mike Sturm. Bill Schasser, full of arrogancy, decided he'd defy God, had a bunch of his nobles of his kingdom together, and they was going to get drunk and honor their gods. And he ordered the vessels of the temple that had been stolen by Nebuchadnezzar, his father, to be brought in. Everybody drank wine. They poured wine in all those vessels and toasted one another and praised their gods, the gods of wood and silver and gold and stone. They was having a merry old time. But then all the merriment came to a sudden end because a hand appeared and wrote on the wall, "Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin." And that tekel means, of course, he didn't know what it meant. His magicians didn't know what it meant. But they brought in Daniel and he knew. And on that word tekel, Daniel said to the king, "You've been weighed in the balances, and you're found wanting. You're nothing but just full of malignancy, death, wickedness." That's everybody. That's all of us. You don't want God to put you on the scales of his justice. See, they had scales back then, and they had certified weights established. This is a real thing, whatever. And I gave you an illustration of both. Say, 5-pound weight. They put it on there. That's certified. That's law. If somebody comes in to buy 5 pounds of sugar, 5 pounds of flour, then they'll add it to this side till it finally balances out. And the Lord said to Belshazzar, "I put you on the scales. You don't even move the scales. Here's the righteousness of the Son of God over here on this side. And the scales are down. That side scales down. In order to be safe forever, you got to balance out." Well, wickedness, this awful malignancy that we have, will never balance out with righteousness. That's an impossibility. Well, is there no hope? Must we live and die and perish and go into outer darkness? By the way, one of the meanings of the word ephah is darkness. Must we abide in darkness forever and ever? Thank God the Savior came. He came to establish righteousness for his people. He came to do something about our malignancy. Oh, the cancer of sin. How awful it is. It's just permeated our whole being. And our Lord Jesus came, and on the behalf of his people, all of the malignancy, all of the guilt, all of the transgressions was transferred from us to him. And then he died the death that the offended law of God demanded. Here's why I told folks yesterday, this is why Mike went to glory. And if you go, this is why you'll go. It's because the Lord Jesus Christ died in your room, stead, and place. That's the only reason. Because, my friend, you can't get out of that bushel basket. Not by yourself, you can't. Something's got to be done about your sin, and you can't do anything about it. And if you spend forever in hell, I don't know what God has in store for you, but if you spend forever in hell, you'll never pay for one sin. You'll never establish any kind of righteousness Because all you do in this life is just unrighteousness on top of unrighteousness. Just sin on top of sin. That's the reason this woman is the personification of wickedness. That's all of us. Don't you see that? Oh, how blind the natural man is that he can't see. I'm all wickedness. Christ is all righteousness. I need Him. He doesn't need me. I need Him. It's not about me doing something for Him. It's about Him doing something for me. And I bless His name that 2,000 years ago, He took all of my malignancy. He took all of my defilement. He took all the sin of this poor sinful creature. He took it upon Himself and then bore it away. The whole bushel basket full, He bore it away into a land uninhabited, and it'll never be found. See, that's the good news of the gospel. Not what you've got to do for the Lord, but what the Lord's got to do for you. You see, the law of God, like a tremendous weight, it holds you in, and the law says, perfection, that's all I'm going to accept. Well, I'll try to do the best I can. You won't even budge the lid. I'm living by the Ten Commandments. You're a liar, or else you have no understanding of the Ten Commandments. They hold you in, and you're not going to remove the weight. Well, my faith will remove the weight. No, it won't. Because your faith can't do anything about sin. Well, my repentance will move the weight. No, it won't. Because your repentance won't do anything about sin. Is repentance toward God necessary? Absolutely. Is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ necessary? Absolutely. But repentance and faith are not your contributions to the equation of salvation. Those are gifts from God. Christ has been exalted for to give repentance. That's what the scripture says. To give repentance. You don't have it. And faith is a gift of God. You don't have that either. And if we had any spiritual sense whatsoever, we'd be breathing a prayer to the Lord even right now. Lord, oh Lord, give to me repentance and faith. I don't have them. They're gifts from You. Please give them to me. And if you offer that prayer, there's something going on already. You say, God, be merciful to me. Be propitious to me. I'm the sinner. Well, the law of God says the soul that sinneth shall die. God placed a value upon His law. And He says, you break my law, this is what's going to cost you. Death. Adam, you break my law, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but don't you eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for in the day you eat thereof you'll surely die. And Adam, seeing his wife eat, then he considered the cost. Though he did not know really what death was. You know that? Nancy and I talked about that Wednesday night. He had no idea what death was. But after weighing what he did know, he said, I'm willing to pay that price. Whew. Death's an awful price for defying God. But that's what you merit. That's what I merit. Death. You want to get paid? I am so interested in somebody else who paid the debt for me. because I owe a debt I can't pay. Oh, God, make us serious about these things. Cause us to understand. I'm in a bushel basket, and there's nothing but darkness. And there's a lid on top of me. It's the holy law of God. It says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And I can't do that. And I hear of the Holy One, the only Savior of sinners, who came and by His life and by His death, He established for a whole bunch of people, for all of His people, He established righteousness before God. And God enabled me, and He continues to enable me to just keep on coming back to Christ. He's the only hope of God. You see that, don't you? Surely you do. Oh, God, show us that. Well, let me look at this in three ways, and I'll see if I can set these before you. Number one, remember this bushel basket is a measuring basket. So number one, the sins of the wicked are measured. If you're an unbeliever, I don't know anybody's hearts. What I said to people yesterday at the funeral, I don't know anybody's heart but mine. Sometimes I ain't so sure about mine, because the heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But the Lord has shown me that I'm nothing but wickedness. And I know this, the sins of the wicked are measured. They're measured. Every transgression, hear me now, I'm talking to you who are watching by way of the internet or who are listening to this later on. You do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of God really doesn't interest you. The bloody sacrifice of the Son of God is, that's not imperative to you. It's not vital to you. You say, well, Jim, I can see you mean business. I just don't see it like you do. Well, you may not. But I'll tell you this. Every one of your transgressions, every one of your sins, God has numbered. He knows the full measure of your wickedness. And you die in unbelief, you're going to be like the woman in the basket. The angels of God are going to carry you away in your darkness and in your wickedness and put you somewhere way away from everybody else. Condemned forever. And you will remain in your darkness forever and ever without the light of God's presence, without the light of Christ's grace. There's nothing but darkness that awaits you. You will be consigned by God Himself to the very dark abyss of divine judgment and receive from God's offended law the justice that you deserve. And it'll be forever. I'm telling you, the lid of justice, the lid of God's law, too heavy for you to lift. I'm going to do better, preacher. I promise you I'm going to do better. Well, if you've been being, you know, immoral, do better. You've been drinking too much, do better. Been using foul language, do better, fine. But that doesn't affect your relationship to God. That doesn't lift the lid off. If you die in unbelief, Christ said, where I am, you can't come. Secondly, the sins of God's people are also measured. Because the people of God are also filled with wickedness. And our wickedness has also been weighed. But the terrible weight of the wickedness of all of God's people, they've all been laid upon the shoulders of the Son of God, put on Him. How refreshing that passage is in Isaiah 53 and verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We're all wicked too. And we've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity, the wickedness, the sinfulness, the malignancy of all of the sheep of the Lord, laid it on him. All of them. Jim, don't you think the Lord's going to judge us for our sins, the people of God, that we'll be judged for our sins when we get to heaven? We have no sins. What are you talking about? Our sins have been taken away. And you see, it's like our Lord, our sins are like in that basket. But we're not there. And our Savior took our sins, the darkness, the blackness, the putrid filth of our wickedness. The Lord Jesus Christ took it upon Himself and bore it away and locked it up in a house that'll never be heard from again. Bless His name. Never again heard from. They're not going to be raised against us at the judgment. You say, is He able to do that? Psalm 89:19 says that God laid help upon one who is mighty. And one of His names is, in Isaiah 9, the Mighty God. Who could bear such a weight? Who could carry the enormity of the guilt of millions of sinners and carry them away into a land uninhabited, satisfying God's justice? Who could do that? Only the God-man. Do you wonder why I love to preach Him so much? Because He took my whipping for me. He took the penalty of sin for me. He took on Him the transgressions of all of His people. And that meant He had to die. That's why He died. To satisfy God's law. And for the people of God, I know this earthly tabernacle, it's going to get weak and the soul will have to depart from it. But our departure is not death. It's called sleep, isn't it? It's sleep. There's no death for the child of God. The body sleeps. The soul goes back to Christ. Thirdly, the woman is the personification of false religion. It's obvious in this vision that every eye is upon this basket with the woman inside. She is wickedness, and she represents false religion. Turn with me to Proverbs. I'm going to give you just a couple of references. Proverbs chapter 7. Get Proverbs chapter 7. In the Bible, false religion, and that's every religion except the religion of the truth. It's the religion that praises man's will, man's works, man's worth. Proverbs chapter 7. Any religion that praises man's will, makes salvation dependent upon man's will, or upon man's worth, or upon man's works, hear me well, run as fast as you can away from it. It's deadly. Because those who teach that salvation is determined by man's will, they're trying to steal God's glory. When God has said, it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth the mercy. You get wrapped up in any kind of religion other than God's religion, true salvation in Christ by grace, you're in trouble. In chapter 7 of Proverbs, Solomon sets forth this woman who is the personification of wickedness. She is false religion. Verse 1 says, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. In other words, here's what he said. Keep the word of God in front of you. You ought to be like the Bereans who searched the scriptures daily to see if the things that the Apostle Paul was preaching were so. I don't ask you to believe what I preach to you just because I'm preaching it. I certainly desire you to take the word of God and see if these things are so. Don't believe it just because I said it. Believe it because God said it. That's what he's talking about. Just keep the word of God in front of you. That's why he says in verse 3, bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart. And say unto wisdom, thou art my sister. Call understanding thy kinswoman. That they may keep thee from the... Watch this. This very strange woman. She's an alienated woman. She's false religion. She's a harlot. And here's what she'll do. She'll flatter you with her words. I'll tell you one thing a gospel preacher, several things a gospel preacher won't ever do, but this one's for sure. He won't ever flatter you. Somebody said they were sitting behind somebody yesterday and I got on the subject of sin and then they began to wiggle. Well, I'm not going to flatter you. And I'm not going to tell you that I'm unlike you. I'm telling you we're all in the same boat together. We're all guilty. But some of us in here have been forgiven. Some of us in here stand in the righteousness imputed to us by our great, glorious God. And he says in verse 6, for at the window of my house I look through my casement and I watch. There's a simple people, foolish people. That's what simple means. Foolish people. And I discerned among the youth a young man void of understanding and false religion focused on him. She goes after him. And in the end, she'll get him. Because false religion is beautiful, has something to offer to everybody. That's how churches are today. They offer you everything. We got something for everybody in your family. From the wee ones to the elderly ones. We have meetings every night. We'll keep you busy. We'll keep you active. We'll do this. We'll do that. We'll do something else. They do everything in the world except preach the gospel of God's grace to sinners through the Lord Jesus Christ. They're full of entertainment. Like some of the stuff we heard yesterday. Just foolish entertainment. Well, I don't have time to read all this, but drop down to verse 21. With her much fair speech, she caused this young man to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. And he goes after her. As an ox that's going to the slaughter. Or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Until something happens. Here comes the judgment of God. A dart strikes through his liver. As a bird hasted to the snare, he doesn't know that it's for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. See, she has many paths. How many ways are there to glory? How many ways are there to Christ? One. He said, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But false religion, she's got many paths. Just believe there's a God. That's good enough. Do the best you can. We'll all wind up in heaven one day. That's her lies. Said, don't go astray in her path. Don't you listen to what she says. She preaches down grace and up works. She brings Christ down and lifts us up. Lifts man up. Don't you listen to her. He says in verse 26, for she's cast down many wounded. I tell you, she's got people smarter than you. Trip them up real easy. Yea, many. Watch this. Strong men. And she's killed them. What's so serious about this? Look at verse 27. Her house is the way to hell. Going down to the chambers of death. That's the woman. She's in the basket. False religion. She's deadly. One of these days, God's going to carry her away too. And you can read Revelation 17, 18, and the first part of 19, where that harlot church, harlot religion, Babylon the Great, in all of her appearance of glory, God's going to cast her down to hell. But before he does, he's going to issue a great call to all of his people. Come out of her! Come out of her! That's the effectual call of grace. I was in her. I was in the harlot church. I was in false religion. Sure to perish, but the Lord wouldn't let me perish. He said, come out of her! And that's the effectual call. I tell you, see, Babylon's not going to be destroyed. The woman, the personification of wickedness, she's not going to be carried away and all who are in her carried away into a land uninhabited, that is to hell itself where there's everlasting destruction. She is not going to perish until all of God's people are pulled out of her. And that's the grace of God. Has he pulled you out? He pulled me out. Showed me nothing could help me but the Lamb of God. Nobody could save me but the Lamb of God. And I bid you look to the Lamb of God. He's the only hope. He's the only hope, us sinners. Is that okay if I say us sinners? Because we are. We all bad. We're all malignant. We got that malignancy in us. But look to the Lamb of God. That's our final song. Turn to hymn number 216. Look to the Lamb of God. And we'll sing the first and the last verses Don't forget what you've heard this morning. Take it home with you. Kind of chew the cud on it, so to speak. Serious things here. All right, let's stand and sing. 216.